Okay, so today's Hashkafa Shmuz is going to be a continuation, sort of a continuation, at least the same theme. I think we're going to do one more today and one more next week. Also, all three on the topic of Tefillah, a three-part series on Tefillah. Last week, we mentioned that the Gemara in Nida on Daf Ayin Amid Beis makes a big deal about the importance of Tefillah. And basically, last year I tried to give you a little bit of an introduction into the Chashivos of Tefillah, the importance of Tefillah. And this week, what I want to talk about is the Yesod HaTefillah, the foundation of Tefillah. The foundation of Tefillah. The first Ma'ar Makom in Chumash that I think deals with that is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks about the creation of the world. So he says, V'chol siach hasad etera miyeh ba'aretz, v'chol esev hasad etera mitzmach, that even though Hashem created grass on the third day, apparently he created it, but it was still in the ground. Ki lo himtir, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't bring the rain yet. The Adam Ayin Lavodas Adama. Because there was no man yet to worship the land. Very, very strange pasuk. The pasuk says Hashem created the grass, but it didn't grow because man wasn't there yet. Because it didn't grow because it hadn't rained yet. And why didn't it rain? Because there was no man yet. What does man being there have to do with the cause of why there should be rain? So you can have rain without man being there. It could grow without man being there. So Rashi says, "Ve'ein makir b'tovasin shel gashamim." Rashi says that since there was no one to appreciate the greatness of rain, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not feel it necessary or worthwhile to have the rain fall and the grass grow. In other words, it's not that just that, you know, rain causes the grass and the wheat and all the produce to grow, but Hashem set the world up in a way that rain is needed to cause stuff to grow so that man should realize that he needs to daven and appreciate the rain, and then the rain will fall. Listen to these penetrating words of the Ramchal in Derech Hashem. The Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, of course, the author of Mesilas Yesharim, also wrote the Sefer Derech Hashem. And the Ramchal says about tefillah as follows: Inyan haTefillah hu, ki hinei min haSidurim sheSidra haChochma Elyona hu, sheLiyos haNivroim mekablim shefa mimenu yisparach. Hashem set the world up in a way that we, the created, receive all the bounty from him. In order for us to get Hashem's bounty, Hashem's blessing, we have to awaken ourselves and be makariv ourselves to Hashem and ask Hashem for that bounty. The more you realize that the bracha comes from Hashem, the more you will merit having that blessing. V'im lo yisoru, if you don't awaken yourself to the idea that everything you have comes from Hashem, lo yimashich lehem. So in that exact midah, Hashem won't give it to you. V'nei ha'adon baruch hu chafitz v'rotza shetir b'tovas b'chol zmanein v'heichan lam avodas zu d'vayom b'yom. Hashem so much wants to give us stuff, so that's where I have to daven every single day. Shall yada yimashich lehem shefa atzlacha v'abrachah v'imashim tzrichim v'imatzavim zeh b'zeh olam, so that al yidei tefillah we'll be able to get that shefa and all that atzlacha and all that bracha according to what we need. The Ramchal stresses here that the more a person realizes that all bracha comes from Hashem, the more he becomes worthy of receiving that bracha. And I always like to say that the word that is the biggest foundational word of tefillah is the word baruch. Baruch is the root word of every tefillah and every bracha. Everything, all day long. The first word, baruch. And the word Baruch is mostly misunderstood by most people when thinking about what a bracha means. Because we think Baruch means Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, meaning we're giving you a blessing. What a joke that a human being is giving a blessing to Hashem. It doesn't make any sense that a human being should bless Hashem. So the Sefer HaChinuch and the Tshuvas HaRashba already point out that we don't bless Hashem. Hashem doesn't need our blessing, to want our blessing. It's absurd even to think that a human being is going to bless Hashem. Blessing means to multiply, right? That's why the word Baruch is all in twos. The Beis is two, the Reish is 200, the Chaf is 20, all the twos, because it means doubling. It means multiplying. It's ultimate multiplying. Baruch. See, what do you mean Hashem's going to multiply? He can't multiply. He's infinite. Ain't no such thing as God multiplying. So what does it mean, Baruch Atah Hashem? So the Chinuch and the Rashba already say Baruch means what? We're just identifying him as the Mekar HaBracha. Baruch, it's an adjective. It's not a command that you should be blessed. It's an adjective. You are blessed. Baruch, like Rachum, Chanun. You are one who is merciful. It's a description of Hashem. You are Baruch. You are the Mekar HaBracha. Every time you say the word Baruch in Shmoneh Esrei, every time you say the word Baruch in a bracha, you're supposed to think about this idea that you are the source of all of our blessing. And the more you think about that and contemplate that 100 times a day, the more you are zeiche to the bracha. And this, of course, is one of the famous answers to the famous kasha. The famous kasha of the Sefer Ikrim and many of the others about the whole idea of tefillah makes absolutely no sense. And I can tell you that in my lifetime I felt this extremely, extremely poignantly when we did not have children for the first couple of years of marriage. I felt this very, very poignantly, and I was davening and davening and davening and davening and trying to figure out some way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should, that my wife and I should merit having kids. And I was, at a certain sense, after a while of davening and davening and davening for this, and you know, miscarriage after miscarriage, whatever, and various things going on. So at a certain point in Eretz Yisrael, so now I just began to think that it was really not appropriate to keep on asking the Ribbono Shel Olam for this. Like, if the Ribbono Shel Olam felt that we should have children, probably we would have them. If he felt that we shouldn't, then obviously we shouldn't. So what am I banging down the doors of the Ribbono Shel Olam? I mean, okay, of course you do your basic level, but to mamish like rip down the heavens to get this seemed to me to be a waste of the Ribbono Shel Olam's time and my time. I mean, I didn't understand. So I wrote a long letter to Rabbi Willig about this. So he wrote me back. Did I write him 14 pages or he wrote me 14 pages? I forgot it. Of course I lost it like an idiot. Such a young person. He wrote me back the whole thing. I lost the whole thing. Wrote me back like one of the most beautiful letters I ever got. I lost it. It's in Israel, some I don't know where it is, somewhere. But I wrote him a very long letter about this, and he said to me, "What is Bavus de Zachin?" Very clear ideas. There's two fundamental answers to this question. The first answer is that through tefillah, a person can possibly, maybe before the tefillah, he was not worthy of the bracha, but through tefillah, a person can get himself on a higher spiritual level that now he would be worthy of the bracha. It's very simple. Like a person hopefully is growing his whole life, and tefillah is one vehicle through which, that's why hispalel. Hispalel means you're judging yourself. So if you really think about yourself when you're davening and you judge yourself, that's why it's reflexive. Because so if you really judge yourself and think about who you are and where you're going, and through tefillah to really become somebody who's better, so then maybe you didn't deserve the bracha before the tefillah, and the tefillah could bring you to a place that you are deserving. That's one answer. The Sefer Ikrim writes about that. He has a whole long paragraph where he discusses Rabbi Yosef Albo in the Sefer Ikrim. That was one of the four books that Rabbi Blachman said you have to read. Nobody reads it. Nobody reads the Sefer Ikrim. Very few people read it. But he writes there, he asks the Kasha, right? Ma shehevi anashim lefakfek betfila. People have mamish rebelled against Hashem because of this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect.
He knows what you need. How is my asking Hashem? Oh, beforehand he's not going to give you kids. But if you ask him for it, then he doesn't make any sense. Hashem is perfect. That my tefillah should affect the Ratzon Hashem? Hashem makes his gzeiros. He knows what's going on. My little wimpy tefillah should go up there and change. Oh, Hashem thought I wasn't worthy of it, but now that I don't, for now I am worthy of it. How does that work? So he explains that it's not that you changed Hashem, it's that you changed yourself. You didn't change Hashem's gzeira. Hashem's gzeira was in, but his gzeira was for the old Kamenetsky. Now there's a new person, there's a new guy. So now the gzeira no longer applies because you changed yourself, you're a new person. That's one answer. But the other answer really relates more to what I'm saying over here, and it's a little more difficult to understand, but the second answer is that even maybe you are worthy of a certain bracha. You are worthy of it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu set the world up that it's just a key. It's like, it's ready there, but you just have to put the key in the lock and the lock will open. The key is tefillah. He set the world up in a way that, you know, you're on the madriga, but he just wants that should be that's just the opening. He didn't change any madriga through the tefillah, but he just wants you to appreciate it. He just wants you to appreciate it. Because why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu give his brachos to somebody who does, even if you deserve it, you deserve it, but the tefillah is just the key, it's just a key that opens it to appreciate. There could be countless blessings waiting for a person in Shemayim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just waiting for him to ask for it, to key into it, to appreciate it. So one of the most important reasons for sincere prayer is that the whole idea of prayer is for us to realize that all bracha comes from Hashem. It is our job simply to ask for it, either because asking for it puts us on a higher madriga, or just because asking for it is the key, is the mechanism that Hashem set up for us to receive it. The more a person prays sincerely, the more he becomes worthy for all the blessings of the world to fall on him. And this, I believe, is the real intention that we're supposed to have every time you say the word Baruch. You are the Makar HaBracha. I realize that all brachos come from you. And perhaps we can also understand, based on this, what would seem to be a very perplexing Gemara in Yevamos. So the Gemara in Yevamos says, "Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, mipnei ma hayu avoseinu akurim? Why were the imahos akaros? Why were the imahos akaros? Why did the imahos have a very difficult time giving birth?" Where it says, because God has a taiva for the prayers of the righteous. So you read this Gemara the first time, and you get the idea that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a sadomasochist, so he likes to torture the imahos so that to dangle children from just so they'll daven more, because he gets his high out of hearing that imahos davening. It gives Hashem this high. So therefore, they're akaros. So he wants to torture them. So therefore, it's a bizarre thought. Hashem has a taiva for tefillos. But if you think about it in the following way, I think it makes a lot of sense. We think that the way the world works is that, you know, we do and Hashem provides. But in fact, that's not it. Hashem created the world, like we said, by the rain and the grass. Hashem created the world in a way that He wants us to ask for things. And it's not that the goal is the having kids. The goal is the relationship. The goal is the relationship. The having kids is a vehicle to a relationship. Getting bracha is a vehicle to the relationship. The goal, though, is that we should be makir b'tovas v'shel g'shamim. The goal is the tefillah. The goal is the relationship. Hashem gives, that's what the Gemara is trying to say. So people are great tzaddikim. Hashem says they're capable of great relationship. And so the harder it is for them to get what they need, the greater the relationships develop, because the goal is not the having kids. The having kids is a hechi timtza to a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mipnei ma hayu avasein akurim, because the goal is the tefillah. The goal is the tefillah. The goal is the relationship. And the harder you have to work for something, the greater the relationship that's done. And the bigger the tzaddik, the greater the potential for relationship through tefillah with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Finally, I remember asking my Rebbe, Reb Mendel Blachman, you know, the issue in yeshiva that people don't
care so much about tefillah, high school kids, it's very difficult. So I asked him, what can we do in the yeshiva to awaken the kids to appreciate tefillah more, that they should. So he said that he thinks we should take every grade on a class trip to the ninth floor of Sloan Kettering. That's what he thought. Because the biggest reason that people don't daven well is because we don't really feel on a day-to-day basis, we don't really feel the lacking. We don't really feel the need. We don't really walk through life with the understanding that any second the whole thing can flip around. And certainly, feeling that Hashem is the source of everything, one of the most important ingredients of that is when you feel lacking, when you feel that things are down. So you probably know the famous Zvar, which I think is so beautiful, of Soloveitchik Zvar, about the Machlokas Rambam and Ramban, about whether tefillah is minatorah. The Rambam says tefillah is minatorah once a day. The Ramban says no, only be'eis tzara is tefillah minatorah. But daily prayer is not midoraisa. And Soloveitchik said, really, there's no Machlokas. The Rambam agrees, they both agree that only be'eis tzara is a mitzvah doraisa, but the Rambam held, every day is an eis tzara. To be able to walk through the hallways in Eis Tzara, to be able to get out of bed as an Eis Tzara, to be able to have food. And the thing that always struck me about this, Rav Shimshon David Pincus writes about this in Sha'arim B'Tfilah. He says, why do we say Az Yashir every day in Davin? Right? All the other part of Pesukei Dezimra all comes from Sefer Tehillim. Sefer Tehillim, so we know that Sefer Tehillim, David HaMelech wrote to try to develop the beginnings of that relationship. So we know Shios is Tishbachos LaHashem, Sefer Tehillim makes sense. Az Yashir, Kriyas Yamsuf, Vosfar Kriyas Yamsuf, what in the world is the connection between Kriyas Yamsuf? Every day I got to thank Hashem for Kriyas Yamsuf. Pesach, I got to thank Hashem for Kriyas Yamsuf. Zani Mevin. What does Kriyas Yamsuf have to do with davening every single day? So Pinchas says, beautiful. Mar says the end of Pesachim, Kashim Mizonosav Shel Adam Kriyas Yamsuf. Shenemar Nosin Lechem Lechol Basar V'Samech Le L'Goyze Yamsuf L'Gzarim Ki L'Yoylem Chasta. So Pinchas says, every time a person opens up the pantry in his house and he sees it full of food, you should think of that Gemara, Kashim Mizonosav Shel Adam Ki Kriyas Yamsuf. That for a person to be able to have enough food to eat is mamish, a miracle like Kriyas Yamsuf. A person can breathe every day is a miracle like Kriyas Yamsuf, like the Ramban writes in Lech Lecha. The whole world is lisa nistarim. If a person mamish walks through life realizing that every piece of food that he has is a miracle like Kriyas Yamsuf, and every time he takes a breath is a miracle like Kriyas Yamsuf, that's why your Pinchas says, say, Oz Yashir every day. Ashiro Hashem ki go go, mamish. I experience every day Kriyas Yamsuf. That I can walk, that I'm healthy, that I can eat is Kriyas Yamsuf. It's a miracle like Kriyas Yamsuf. That's what David HaMelech writes in Tehillim. Sarav Yagon Emso V'Shem Hashem Ekra Afafuni Chev Le'mavis U'mitzarei Sha'ol Mitzauni. David HaMelech constantly saw himself in an Eis Tzara. They say about the Brisker Rav, before somebody would come to ask him for advice, he would mutter to himself, Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem. Anytime a guy would ask him for advice, Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem, even though he was a pretty smart guy, the Brisker Rav. Pretty smart guy. He gave a lot of people Eitza. Before he would give somebody Eitza, he would always say to himself, Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem. Any person, before anything happens to him in life, we have to appreciate. So, the Yesod HaTfilah, to my mind, one of the most important Yesodos of Tfilah, the Yesod HaTfilah is the combination of feeling lacking, realizing how much we don't have, and realizing that the key to all of that comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever we do have comes from Him. And that's why I said last week that Rav Soloveitchik said, actually, Pashas Chayesara. Bas Kuf ki Bas Chof ki Bas Zayin. So he develops beautifully there in the famous Drash on Chayesara about how for certain things it's good to be old and for certain things it's good to be young. Bas Kuf ki Bas Chof ki Bas Zayin. So he says, for learning, the older you are, the wiser you are in learning. But in davening, some ways the younger you are, because the older you are, you feel more self-sufficient. When you're young,
you still feel like you don't. You need that youthful ability to, like a baby, a young child, totally dependent on the mother. When as you get older, you know, you feel like you're already a big macha. You don't need your parents anymore. Your parents need you. You don't feel like you're dependent on anybody. Get to be 20, 30, 40, you feel like you own the world. When you're a little kid, you feel like you need your mother for everything. So to daven requires an innocence. It requires total subjugation, total realizing you're not in control of anything, total giving yourself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and realizing that you don't control a single thing. Next week, what I'd like to speak about, the final in the three installments about tefillah, next week I want to just talk about practical, very, very practical dimensions of how to work on kavanah, how to work on kavanah, how to focus, how to envision that the Rabbonu Shalom is really right in front of you when you are davening.